Welcome everyone to DG Game Night number 6, except, yeah, it's canceled, so, you know.
What? I showed up for nothing?
Damn. Yeah, so I had a plan, and the plan fell through, but tonight's roster, we've got Chris Dupenthaler, always faithful. And we've got John Razor. Razor?
Yeah.
I always get your last name wrong.
They're both complicated.
Yeah. And so, always plays our Cypher. And Chris Piazzo, our production assistant.
Hey.
And who's displaying a nice back wall there.
Yeah, I love that.
And so... I had this plan. We had Seth Davis was going to join us too, and he may still come around. And he's going to play an animated teddy bear. And he stole the idea from one of our short films way back called Teddly Bear. And so he's playing Teddly Bear, basically. A murderous teddy bear. Very cool. But he only says 4 words, so it's going to be a very interesting show when we actually get to play that. And I thought about, okay, so we've got Vlad, the Russian... sort of taken after Putin there. A cipher and a teddy bear. And that... to me, sounds like an awesome Demon Hunter story right there. I didn't think that was going to work too well. As, you know, 3 hours of gaming. And besides the fact that the teddy bear only says 4 words.
That'd be like how much you can get done with so few people to make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, so instead, you may throw out any questions that you have. We have the Q&A right there. I did get this morning in my hot little hands, and though I have not read it yet, so I don't know how much I could answer, but I can pull it up and answer questions as I can. It's 17 pages long. Which for, you know, a several hundred page book has me a little worried, but I think it's going to be okay. And so we can take questions there. I guess we've got some dice to show, but...
Don, you said you haven't read it yet, but you didn't actually say exactly what you were not reading.
Oh, didn't I say that? It's all going on in my brain. I just expect it. Yeah. So it's the system reference document for the new Demon Hunters role-playing game. So this is the skeleton of the mechanics of the entire book.
It's actually in our closet.
Right. My virtual closet called Google Drive.
Someday it will come out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to play it.
Right.
Maybe.
So, Piazzo, do we have any viewers?
5.
We have 5 viewers.
Woo-hoo! Not bad.
Hello, viewers.
It's actually not bad. I think we peak around 15 to 17 at any given game.
Yeah. So for you early on orders, sorry. And you get me in like this weird white screen too. I don't understand that either.
I'm actually getting you as a black screen for. Oh, there you go. Now you're back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So awkward.
So we'll take questions, except Don, because he seems to be occupied in digital Netherland.
Yeah, Don, you're going black when you're coming up to speak on my screen at the very least.
Really?
Me too.
Now you're back.
Blah. It wonder if I have to try and get my laptop to work again.
Because there's the show, Technical Difficulties. Come watch.
All right, so no gaming. I don't think I would watch this, but anyone's welcome to. But we do have gaming dice, complete with the Brotherhood logo. If
back it off a little bit.
Yeah, something like that.
Let me lock your screen, dupe.
What's that?
I'll lock you so it's only you right now, and we'll get you to try and show the picture a little bit better.
All right. Dice of custom goodness. There's a...
So the black ones are which ones, Don, for those that may not know?
Yeah, the black ones are the Order of the Infernal Scepter. They're the bad guy dice, and the blue ones are, of course, the Brotherhood of the Celestial Torch. And what's interesting is Cam's
less blurry in person.
Yeah, Cam's actually worked in the two sets of dice into the game. Essentially, that you get.
Wait, so like you roll them?
Well, yeah, but.
If you have the special dice, you get a bonus? Is that what you're saying?
So there's a mechanic called the Demon Dice, and then there are Faith Dice.
Nice.
So, and I'll actually read you a little bit of the paragraph here on Demon Dice. So this is a little bit of a preview of what to come on how this function. So in the middle of the table is a pile of differently colored six-sided dice called demon dice. You probably only need three of these, as most any player can use at a time is three, but the GM might end up with a lot more as a result of player actions. The only requirement is that they be different in color from the player's core dice, or the faith dice. Demon dice are a temptation. If a player rolls and doesn't get good enough to succeed, she can take one, two, or three demon dice from the pile and roll them, adding the result to her total. There's no cost to do this right up front, but everyone's going to pay for it later. Once they're used, they are handed to the GM. Using demon dice alters the outcome of the dice in other ways, too. If the player still fails, even after adding the result of the demon dice, then her failure is even worse than it would have been. If she succeeds, then there's a cost to that success that affects more than just her. In other words, demon dice can make things really crappy. The GM is encouraged to play up this shift in circumstances. The players are encouraged to describe succeeding by the skin of their teeth, and so on. And so it's kind of a nice little temptation bonus at a potential cost. And then the faith points, or the faith dice, are sort of the opposite of that. They can give you other bonuses as well. So
that sounds awesome.
And wonderfully ominous.
Mm-hmm.
I see that Seth has joined us now.
I have returned.
Hey! You're backwards.
Am I? Crap. It looks right to me.
Did you make it as a single logo? Or is it you just got to click on the flip thing? At
I don't know. Let's see. So if... I can play with it and see what happens.
It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Well, it's... I'm very disappointed that it's backwards, because I mean it looks fine to me. So I spent a bit of time setting that damn thing up. Anyway.
Well, the teddy bear is awesome.
Thank you. Well, and I mean everybody is catching the reference, right? Do you remember the teddy bear short, the silent film short?
I don't, actually.
Oh, okay. So that was before, was that even before Gamers?
Yeah.
Not before the first Gamers.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Is it on the extended edition Gamers? It's got all the old Dead Gentlemen.
It does. On it? Yeah. Ted Lee.
I just have a bad memory.
Created at the same time, at least script wise, that that Gamers was, but I don't think we shot it until later. Okay. There it is.
So since Seth showed up late, Seth, would you like to introduce yourself?
As in who I am or who my character is?
Who you are. And your character, if you like. Okay. We already went through all the introductions, so I figured we didn't want to just have you show up and not know.
What do I need to say? I am Seth Davis. I am in St. Louis. I've been a backer since Journey Quest Season 2 is really where I came on board with everything. And have been a little too much of a zealot, maybe. I don't know. With regards to Zoe and Dead Gentleman. So, an avid supporter and a fan.
So. Which we have appreciated.
Yeah.
Yes. And one of our Patreon contributors.
That's true, which is why I'm here, is because I was one of the first. I don't remember where I came in on. I didn't jump up to the $30 level for like the first month or two, but I think it was one of those where we needed to unlock something and we were like $19 off, so I jumped up to hit it.
Well done.
Nice.
Anyway, so that's me. Did that answer? Are there any other questions?
Perfect.
Okay. And then as far as Ted Lee Bear goes, I'm still kind of working on his storyline. I wanted the entire concept is kind of like a Groot Chewbacca kind of guy. He's all muscle. I mean, he's going to be very few words. In fact, I just wanted his words to be, you know, I like warm hugs, you know, so stealing from Olaf from Frozen, right? But he's not limited to, I mean, he's limited to those four words, but they don't have to be said in order, so he can use them however he wants. As far as his background, one of the things that I wanted him to be is like a guardian type, so he's really a protector of someone. My ideal scenario, I haven't talked to the game master about this yet, is to have him connected to one of the other PCs. And so that PC can understand him. So if he says if he needs to convey information, he can just say, "I like warm hugs," and that person knows what he's saying. So he can figure that out. Nobody
Are
else.
Are you giving that player free reign to actually speak for you?
Sure. You know, actually, if you want to have fun with it, absolutely, absolutely.
Don't worry, Vlad speaks 9 languages.
There you go.
Teddy bear, but I will tell you what he is saying anyways.
There you go, exactly. I've decided, I don't know how I guess this would be fun. The whole, what is it, the personal portal?
Oh yeah.
I kind of threw this in when I was making the character. I went, okay, that's a great idea. And at first I was thinking it needed to be his mouth on there. Well, if he's a teddy bear, he might be like a puppet. It would probably be, you know, in his nether region. So I'm thinking that that's probably, you know, if you need something from him, chances are he probably has it, you know, he'll pull the rule book out of his ass, right?
So, nice.
Yeah.
It's like having your own small warehouse, essentially.
Exactly.
But less comfortable.
Yes.
So, unfortunately,
so are you Teddy Ruxpin sized, or are you like county fair sized bear?
I'm thinking more Teddy Ruxpin size. So probably I'd say maybe 18 to 24 inches is kind of where this guy's going. You know, and again, going off of the Teddy Bear short is where I'm basing this character off of. I would definitely, for anybody who's playing, I would recommend going and watching. It's what, like a 6 minute short, maybe?
Yeah, it's
pretty short.
And if I can share my screen, which I can in a moment, there we go. Nope, that's not it. So you can YouTube Ted Leibler, and that's T-E-A-D-L-Y Bear. And it's the first one usually. Just make sure it's by Dead Gentleman Productions.
Right.
And
you started playing it.
And if you hear that, then you know you did it right. So then I will share my screen. So I don't know if you guys are seeing that.
I am.
Yeah, I got you locked.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so somebody somewhere will post that particular link. I'm not able to do that, but anyway. That's that. It does exist. Nice, Chris.
A monocle with a monocle.
Yeah. So, no questions yet, huh?
We have 5 viewers at this point.
Okay.
We kind of peaked at 7 for a moment, and we've dropped back down to 5.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm not seeing any questions in my Q&A box. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
Yeah, I don't see anything. Yeah, I'm pretty much thinking that if we don't get something here in the next couple of minutes, that we'll just sign off. And so I guess I should recap. So Jimmy McMichael is out tonight because he's writing the game. Ben Honeycutt is out tonight because he's drawing the game and doing drawings for the comic. That comes up tomorrow. Does everybody know that the screen is on YouTube?
Oh, now you're cracking up on us.
It's a mystery. What's next?
Or we lost them all together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a party now.
Goatee on the goatee. Your goatee has a goatee. So where was I?
You got as far as Ben.
Ben, right. Brian is out. He had a family emergency. Very sad, so keep him in your thoughts. He's okay, by the way. And then Andy is in Idaho, I believe. And we know that there's no internet in Idaho, so it's all right.
I thought he was recording a Two Bards tonight.
Yeah, I think he's actually doing that tonight.
Oh, okay.
He's back, I think. Conflicting interests. You do have a question now in the queue.
Yeah, I see that. All right, so any suggestions for a first-time DM? Played D&D before as a player, but new to Demon Hunters. The question, Christine, are you just talking about Demon Hunters, just how to GM Demon Hunters, or just DM in general? There's a few GMs out there. Chris is a great GM. I don't know if you guys... I know, yeah, Jessica, or John, and the J word over there.
Yeah, I have successfully ran Demon Hunters.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us how you go about your game?
I improvised the hell out of it, and it is the most successful game I've ever ran. I have a lot of problems where I'll come up with like this great storyline I want to do, and then I can't make it happen because I just get too far into it, and I'm spending more time writing than I am running the game. Mm-hmm. With the Demon Hunters game I ran, I had my players make characters, and it was based in the state we live in, so that I could rattle off locales and they would immediately know what it is because they all but one of them grew up in the same town, and I based it off that town. And then I just thought about our state, what we're known for, and made up the most ridiculous monsters I could. Like, I had, what was one? It was the redneck chimera, which was, like, part goat, part copperhead, which we're known for in these parts, and part coyote. Like, little things like that. And then I basically, whatever their decisions were, I based whatever would happen off of that. Like, you, as long as you have a basic grasp of the rules and abilities, then don't think too much into it. Come up with something fun, and then just wing it and play off your players.
Yeah. That's good. I really like the tip of using a location that you know really well. Mm-hmm. And with Demon Hunters, and definitely in the setting, it's very feasible for your team to be, you know, locked down in one particular location.
So Don, I think I want to add that the most successful Dungeons and Dragons campaigns that I've ever run have been settings where I really believed in the world and created depth for that.
Yeah.
The beauty about Demon Hunters is that you are using the real world and all the richness that exists already, and so you have a really intricate, crazy, messed up world to play in already.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing, too, that I like about it is that, and we're going to talk about this in the book, too, that your adventure design is a few Google searches away, you know, so that if you're stuck on something, or if you can't think of, like, a redneck chimera, which is freaking awesome, by the way, and are having trouble figuring out, like, it turns out that if you just Google a couple of things, and we've got some tables for you to string a few things together, truth is stranger than fiction, and there is a lot of messed up, weird history out there that is readily available, and you can turn that around into something pretty quick. So, and I think that's to your point, Dupe, is that there's a stuff already out there, and you're familiar with it as a world already.
I mean, basically, being a Dungeon Master is taking the world and melding it with whatever the players are doing and bringing to the table. And it's almost like sort of matchmaking.
Sure.
So let the players do a lot of work, a lot of the, you know, the storytelling.
I'm a very improvised type DM myself, as you probably have noticed. I think one of my weaknesses, I think, and I'm trying to figure out ways to address that in this game, is coming up with good NPCs, good characters for the players to meet and interact with. That's always been one of my weaknesses as a GM, coming, especially if I'm making them up entirely on my own. When I ran the James Bond role-playing game, they were already there. I could just make it up and, you know, you borrow characters that already existed. Here we're making up a lot. So I think that's I've talked to a few people do Dungeon Master Workshop kind of stuff, and a lot of people start with the villain and kind of work with who the villain is and get that sort of motivation and figured out, and then go out from there.
So there is another question up there.
Yeah.
I'm personally pretty good.
I'm doing okay.
I could have some food. I could be better.
I was pretty hungover this morning.
You know, this might be the most Monday of all Mondays.
Yeah.
It really feels like it.
Forget yesterday, Don, or what exactly was going on there?
So, you know, being from the greater Seattle area, it was a rough game.
Yeah.
Really, it was just a rough last
2 minutes. Oh, it was so disappointing because we had it. We could have had it, and we blew it. And, yeah, so... So, Dupe, in his extraordinaire bartending abilities, had created some great martinis that we had last night, and I may have had too many of those.
They were all good until the last one, right?
Yeah. I can tell you, I don't remember going to bed last night.
Wow.
I also didn't drive, obviously.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
At least that you remember at this point.
Yeah. No, I made sure. Cindy would never allow me to do that. But. Yeah, I just remember waking up at about 2 in the morning with a very splitting headache and doing the whole water and Advil treatment. Yeah, Matthew Hunt, that call was dumb. So I get why they threw the ball. And I don't agree with it. A lot of people don't. Marshawn Lynch was right there. They could have handled it. Everybody was expecting it, but he's Marshawn Lynch. He could still do it. He's great. You know. But
yeah, the deal is they can put 4 guys on him, and he's still going to make a yard.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think so Pete Carroll released today that play was his fault. He owns up to that. That was his idea. But it does make sense if you're going to pass the play, because if it's incomplete, then it stops the clock. And sort of time was of the essence. But, you know, again, you kind of could have just given it to Lynch and had the touchdown. So, you know. But that didn't happen. And I'm not here to talk about football.
We're actually up to 11 viewers at this point.
Oh,
oh wow.
11 suckers. Guys, we're not even playing the game. Wow. But you are welcome to hang out with us.
Yes.
I mean, really, what is role-playing games? It's a good excuse to sit around with your buddies and, you know, have a beer or some Funyuns or whatever. And
Yeah. You know what, dude? I don't think I've ever in my entire gaming lifetime had Funyuns while gaming.
Really?
Wow. They're not very good.
No. I was going to say, I think there's probably a reason for that.
They don't enhance the gaming experience at all.
No.
So, Don, have you ever done a Demon Hunters game where you've had 2 groups and one been on one side and one been on the other side, so to speak? A group of hunters versus a villain group?
No, I haven't. I've been in some campaigns in D&D that were kind of like that. I think Nathan Rice was pretty good at DMing that kind of thing, too.
Evil.
Yeah. Nathan was really good at running one-off sessions, so everybody would show up, and boy, the twists were, yeah, memorable.
Well, I know there was some talk, you know, at one point for Zocon to maybe having 2 tables of either 2 hunter teams after the same objective or,
ooh,
you know, combating teams, so to speak, but it was so hectic at Zocon, nothing like that panned out.
Yeah, I never heard back from the guy who suggested that, and I'd never run a table like that before, and he seemed to have a pretty good idea of how that would go about. My understanding was it was, and this would be really cool to try, and we could certainly work up to this, but so you create a macro sort of event, a larger world situation, and you have the different tables with their own GMs running their own scenarios. So in this case, each table could be their own team of hunters. And then I, being sort of the larger GM, would walk around and start setting macro events in motion. And it would affect every single table. And so they all might tie together and be working on the same plot. Or one might spiral into the other, that sort of thing. But my, you know, the person who is sort of the world GM, their job would be to be going around the table, listening, but planning out the larger events and seeing how they can all sort of tie together. And probably trying to kill as many tables as possible at the same time. That's like an idea. I have not even begun to understand how to put that together.
You know, Ben Dobbins had put together some really neat murder mystery parties with like 100 people.
That's a really good point. I bet Ben could really help me figure out how to run that successfully.
To be fair, he was a little burned out after the biggest one, but it was awesome.
So. It was pretty freaking awesome. In fact, we had talked about a murder mystery party, Demon Hunters murder mystery, that Ben was going to write as a stretch goal for the RPG.
That's right.
So, depending on how this goes, we may... so there's the team that is that's building or has built the Dresden Files LARP. They were super interested in creating a Demon Hunters LARP, and we had that all budgeted out and everything for the stretch goal as well. And of course, we didn't get there, but that might be worth its own Kickstarter or something at some point. Because between that and the murder mystery, and the murder mystery is it's taking the LARP to the next largest level, meaning, you know, it's still LARP, but it's a lot less rules and more accessible to having a party or having, you know, lots of people do murder mysteries, and so, you know, just adding a Demon Hunter's flair to it would be super awesome and a lot more accessible. So again, just sort of thinking about ways to propagate the brand in really, really fun and interactive ways.
So you have plenty of questions starting to roll in now.
Oh, right on. Yeah, Andrew Swanson, love the idea of the multi-table event. We're too early to work that for Gen Con, but that's definitely something I want to think about.
Real quick on the multi-table thing, I'd like to see that with a sort of a function where the way in which each team tries to solve their problems affects the environment for the other teams.
Yeah.
So do they go in with guns blazing, or do they, you know, sink the submarine, or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple of key outcomes that then affect the other tables.
Right.
And I think that would be doable.
The trick, I think, too, though, is, like, I don't see this happening in 3 hours. This seems like a much longer potential commitment or something. I'm not sure.
No, you brought up Gen Con, and you said it's probably too early to start planning about that. What about an unofficial multi-table event, like maybe for a couple hours every night of Gen Con, have.
You're assuming that I'm going to be available.
That's true. That is true, which would not be. I know how busy that is.
But we are going to be there, and we are going to be running Demon Hunters a few times a day there. So, but
you're going this year?
Yeah.
Yes! Nice. That's wonderful. Sorry, I'm very excited about that. It's the only con I can go to.
Yeah, I'm very excited too. Yeah, so, okay, what, so Patrick Bodden here, what future plans, events, things can we expect coming this year? Good, let's see. Well, got a few big things, actually quite a few things happening this year. In coming March-ish, we're going to be launching a Blu-ray Kickstarter for Darkness Rising, and we're getting some key art for that. Shortly after that is going to be Zoe's new Phase 2 happening on Patreon, which is a really effective way, and what they're putting together is going to be pretty cool. It's essentially creating pilots for different shows that you, the fans, can choose and support, and whatever gets the most support or whatever gets to have more of those shows get funded, essentially. So the idea is that they're going to crowdfund a series of, I don't know how many pilots, and then pilot episode is going to be about 10 minutes, if you want to think about that. Again, we're talking about web series stuff. And certainly one of those is going to be Demon Hunters. So, yeah, we got plans. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Something about Journey Quest is going to happen later on this year. I don't know a whole lot of the details about that, though. But I know that that's in the works. And we've got some other... one of the other pilots is a gamers-related pilot. It's going to be super awesome. And it's going to tie into some classic characters. It'd be rad. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I don't know about some of the bigger things, I don't know anything that Zoe is specifically planning on doing. I know they're going to be really working hard on the Strowlers and getting Strowler stuff done this year, too. So we're actually going to see some material out of that this year as well.
Attack in the Darkness at Gen Con, too, right?
Yeah, that's right. And Gen Con's going to be awesome. A lot of us are going. So that a lot of releases are going to happen there.
We've got a suggestion for the multi-table. A plot points of one team can be used against the other
Tables
as complications.
Yeah, I could definitely see some kind of, again, we're going to have demon dice and faith dice as a mechanic in the game, and I could see some sort of interfering with the other with the different tables and stuff.
Like these would take me. The uncommon conclusion.
Oh, sorry. Stupid phone. Sorry, the alarm went off. It's getting close to the thing I needed to be home for. So.
Oh, okay.
That's all good.
The thing.
Sorry.
All right, so let's see here. I think I'll grab... Matthew Hunt's just popping them in there.
Okay. If I can interrupt with a question, what's the status of Dead FM? You're going to monthly, I believe, and you said it was like the second Wednesday, so we can expect another one on February 11th. Is that
thereabouts? Yeah. Okay. That's the idea. Was that if we want episodes that are going to be a little bit more like that Christmas episode, or you know, with different sketches and possible music and more, you know, and have a variety.
Yeah.
Which was kind of the goal. Than just, you know, weekly we were.
Yeah.
I thought the goal was to have fun.
Well, that too. I mean, and that's the other thing is like, if when it stops being fun, we should change.
Right.
And it stopped being fun. Yeah. So.
That took much soul searching and scotch, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we did make that call at Reunicon, didn't it?
Yep.
The Christmas Carol from the Christmas Dead FM episode where it's just dick.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't actually listen to the whole thing. It got really annoying, but I couldn't. I mean, later, and I still every once in a while it just pops in my head, and for random whatever, I just find myself going dick, you know, whatever.
Don't worry, we all do.
With you, yeah. So.
Seth, we have no picture for you. Is that intentional?
No. I've got a picture for me. What are you doing over there?
You have a frozen picture when you're not talking. You have a black screen when you are talking.
Okay.
At least on my screen.
Turn off my camera. Now my camera's gone, and you're seeing myself and a child if you're seeing the same thing I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And then that should be a picture of me.
There you go.
Is that not?
Now you're back.
I don't know. I actually have tried to avoid Chrome because I've been using Firefox for several years and I get Firefox. Although Firefox is becoming very glitchy lately. Mm. But I haven't made the jump to Chrome. So the whole, you know, using this has been I'm not up to speed, so.
It's okay.
That's why I somehow flipped my camera. I have no idea how I did that, and I can't flip it back. I don't. So sorry about that.
Wait. Okay. So you're backwards?
I think what I'm looking. I don't know actually. I mean, this is my right hand. You tell me.
Yeah.
Am I backwards?
Right. Well, it's still your right hand, but it's on the left side of our screen.
Okay.
So anyway, I haven't heard from the guys. If we have anything for February, I should check in again. The idea was to make a Valentine's Day episode.
So then are you already working on planning a St. Patrick's themed
episode for March? My idea for March is St. Patrick's Day and Ides of March together.
There you go.
And then April, we of course is taxes, so that'll and April Fools. So we'll have some fun with that one. Mm-hmm. And also, so I mentioned it was going to be every second Wednesday, but it's really sort of not true. It's around the second Wednesday. I noticed that some months start on a Wednesday or very close to that, and so in those cases, it's going to be the third Wednesday.
But one out of seven.
What's that?
Never mind.
Oh. He's doing the statistics. You're filling up on questions now, Don.
Okay, all right. Well,
the first Wednesday greater than 10.
Yeah. Go ahead. Since there's so many of them, will you go ahead and pick one, and we'll address it.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, here. Let's get the quick one out of the way. Is that one showing up at the top now?
Yeah.
Cider.
Woohoo!
Is Matthew shipping it all the way from wherever he lives, which is far, I believe?
Australia. That would be some crazy VAT, if I understand.
All right, let's make sure we're. Let me get one.
Matt, that is rad.
Yeah.
I will endorse Cypher Cider.
That's right.
Let me move this one up to the top now, Don.
Okay.
It's been sitting there for a bit.
What do we got here?
Now, you guys might not know this, but I make cider every year, and this year is we made 10 gallons, 9 gallons, something like that, and it was particularly excellent.
Yeah, it was.
I take it you don't ship it.
No, it doesn't get very far.
Yeah. Okay, so Brandy, is asking, this is toward filmmaking, rather more so script writing. I was pulled into a project as a ghostwriter for the script. The story isn't mine. Plus, I've never written a script before. It's going well. Is there any advice or thoughts you'd be so kind to share? Well, if you really want to do it, just give it your best shot. But there's a reason why we tend not to do other people's stuff, and that's because it's just easier and we work best, you know, with our own things and stuff. So I don't know. It's also, yeah.
So Brandy is saying that it's her story, and I think anything that you
it is not her story.
Love the story, hey, go for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's not hers. Oh, right. Yeah, you're screwed.
There's that helpful advice, I'm sure she's looking for.
Yeah, so, but you know what? It might be good practice. It might be a good opportunity to give it a shot. So
here's plan B. Just have fun.
Yeah. At the very, again, when it stops being fun, do something else.
Well, and be willing to experiment and be willing to fail and learn from that. And that's, you know, that I mean, it's, especially if you're a ghost writer, then you don't have to take any of the credit or flack.
That's right. Win-win. Yeah.
I moved another one up into there, Don.
Okay. Is there any plan for the Aim to Tank Sally videos to launch in Q3 or Q4, thinking as a promotional launch videos leading to the RPG book launch? Possibly. We've got... It just kind of depends on how the book development goes, but we've got the Monster of the Week ones, the Monster Entry database, we'll do some short videos with that, and then the Anti-Tank Sally. So, I don't know if those will be ready by Gen Con or not. I know we've got a lot of things leading up to that, but it might be something... I'd like to get it... Well, that's not true. I'd like to deliver on those when we deliver the book. So I guess that's probably the better answer. So I guess we better have them done by then.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing, Matthew.
Plus, those are going to be a lot of fun, so we should definitely do those.
Yeah. They're going to be easy, too. I'm actually really excited about the Anti-Tank Sally ones.
We're going to have to shoot that again. The last one exploded.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is up.
Ooh. New gaming resolutions for 2015.
For me, wow. I'm still on Anti-Tank Sally. It hasn't changed yet.
Oh. Duke just said it. I mean, is there any new gaming resolutions for 2015?
More gaming.
More gaming.
You know, I have not really been gaming, as you can tell.
Yeah.
I've actually got a couple of campaign ideas in the works, and I think one of those will come to fruition this year, and I'm excited about that. So. Also, more gaming.
Radiant. There is a one person who would be extremely upset about that.
We
got Robot Don there.
Robo Don, I know what you were saying, but no one else does.
That's because Vlad speaks 9 languages.
One of them is Robo Don. The other 8 aren't very useful either.
Wow. I should probably come back in. I think I'm having technical problems.
Did he just transform like a transformer?
He just turned into a chair.
Awesome. Such a cool superpower. Quick, let's answer something without him.
Okay. Is there something you feel you can answer in there?
Oh, yeah.
Could do. Will DeadFM do crossovers with other podcasts? There's that question. I mean, I know just talking with, I mean, from listening to Scott and Andy talk about Two Bards, I know that anytime they have a skit or something, they're going to pitch that through DeadFM rather than through their, rather than through the Two Bards podcast. So in that case, I think Don has said multiple times he's a collaborator. So he's always, whatever people are interested in doing, they're interested in getting it on DeadFM. And so in that case, I think the answer would be yes, if Andy and Scott wanted to put something up for DeadFM, like the, what is it, the Gnome Shopping Network. That was one of the projects they worked on. That was something that was Two Bards, but has now but was put up on DeadFM. So,
way
speaking
to answer
as a fan,
that was awesome. Don, we've just committed you to all kinds of stuff.
Sweet. There you go.
Now, I think DeadFM is sort of one of the most collaborative things that we could be doing, and I don't know about specifically other podcasts besides Two Bards, but we're basically having fun working with all kinds of people, and I think that should continue.
Well, I think the question's kind of around, too, is whether or not how many of the familiar faces the folks know from the Zoe universe are going to be able to be on DeadFM? That's kind of how I read this question.
Yeah, and the answer is as many as we can get. You know, but I don't know how many other DG Zoe people do their own podcast. So that's a good question too.
Let's see. RoboDon equals Cybervan.
Yeah, podcasts are like so like 1999. Who does podcasts these days?
All right. So now, do you want me to just read these, Don? Is it easier for you to do that?
Sure.
Or are they coming up for you okay now?
There's a bit of a lag, but go for it.
Chris turned into a chair.
I know. Patrick Bodden, let's see. Having finished watching House Rules recently and found the Bob character amusing, is there any plans to add him more to the Demon Hunters universe?
Add him more? As in he already is in the Demon Hunters universe?
I don't know.
I don't know that Bob in that particular... Yeah. Any connection to the Demon Hunters universe is strictly coincidental.
There is a Bob in the Demon Hunters universe.
Right.
No relation.
No relation. That we know it.
Except that there is the Bob Collective, where all Bobs are innately tied together by their...
The one true Bob? Oh, wait, no, that's the one true gem. Never mind.
Their Bobishness.
There you go. Their Bobishness.
There's one untrue Bob.
Right. Yeah. I don't even know what Eric is doing these days. Eric Colley is the guy who played Bob on there, and so I haven't heard from him in a long time, so loved it. It's a good excuse to try and see if he's still up to stuff.
Yeah. Bob, call us.
I'm sure he's watching this. So let's see. Another one from Matthew Hunt. So the Gamers pilot is set in the universe but follows a different group? Question mark.
Sure. You could say that.
As in, you can't give away any more details at this time?
Yeah, I mean, So it's not going to be centered around the Lodge Joanna Gary Leo group.
So are you implying that maybe New Moon or someone would be showing up again?
Maybe. Possibly. You'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, I think this is just a comment. Thanking you for all your help in writing. Let's see.
Add electric comment that Don appears to be role-playing a drive-through speaker box. I'm glad you got that, because that's really what he's going for.
That is...
Nice job, Don.
It's one of those questions, right? If you could be a drive-thru, which drive-thru would you be? Let's see. Andrew Swanson. It's a long shot, but could a living wiki RPG chat system work for Demon Hunters? There are World of Darkness chats that spring up all the time.
So somebody out there has already created a Dead Gentleman wiki. I don't know how up-to-date it is. And it wasn't us. So, Andrew, if anybody, in fact, this is an open invitation. If anybody wants to start and create a wiki, go for it. And, you know, we can do that. That's fine. At one point, we did have a wiki, but I think it died on the old server somewhere. So, it's out of my realm of expertise, but if there are folks out there who want to do that, send us a link and we'll play along.
All right, I think we are pretty much out of questions. We have a couple of comments by Matthew Hunt, which I think you can see. I think he's making a comment about how good your connection is tonight. So we are at just shy of an hour. We're at 12 viewers. Well, and we seem to be out of questions.
Do any of you have any questions? This is riveting television.
Right? It is. Dead air is always awesome.
Yeah. So, Don, when are we going to actually do this gaming thing again?
Well...
Now, is it Monday nights that is...
First Monday of every month.
But no, is that the problem? Is that why we haven't... There hasn't been a session since October, is because that first Monday is difficult?
No, I don't think it's that. I think that the issue is that, you know, some people are trying to get ahead. I don't know. It's a little odd. Suppose Wednesday or Thursday is a possibility, but Wednesday would be bad timing for me. And right now, Thursdays would be bad timing for me. And Tuesday is the Demon Hunters webcomic that comes out. Of course, they're going to take a break here pretty soon after this story is done. They're going to go on a hiatus so that they can plan out the rest of the season, catch up on writing, and that sort of thing. So that might free up or might get even busier.
Well, Ben's got to catch up on some other perks like wallpapers and whatnot, so I don't think his drawing gets any easier after the first run finishes.
No. In fact, it's probably doubled with drawing the, like you said, he's got all the wallpapers to do. He's got art for the RPG to do. And that's what they're using that time to focus on. Other folks, I think, have one intention to doing it, and something on the weekend or whatever before causes issues. And
okay, Chris, we need a translation. What's he saying?
So translation for Rovodon.
Can we get an interpreter?
So what's essentially been happening is that people are busy, and most folks commit a month out and are good. And about a week or two before game night happens, life happens for a lot of people, and people have to cancel out. And we just end up with that count. Like tonight, I mean, we were at 5 or 6 players, I think, 3 days ago.
Okay. And five dropped to two.
So, it's been interesting coordinating it, to say the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to play the new system soon.
Let's do that.
So I'll have to learn that first.
So here's a question then. With the new system, is everyone modifying themselves over to the new system with the existing row 7, or does a new team start?
Whatever. I'm open to whatever. People want to keep the characters, that's fine.
Oh, I see. Ben's watching us, but he's not actually here.
He's drawing mustaches on us all right now.
There we go.
I guarantee he's drinking Jameson right now, though.
Yeah.
Safe bet.
That just makes my liver hurt after a...
So let's see. Matthew wants to know, what's the plan if the next game night doesn't happen?
We dress and drag
impromptu.
And
what was that, John?
We dress and drag and do the hula on air. That's the plan. I mean, assuming everyone else is down for this.
Well, I am now.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. You know what I'll do is I'll go ahead and plan out the next session and see if there's enough material in the SRD to play something. And if not, then we'll just have the Cortex, but at least... And we need more players, I think. I think that's the other issue, is we need to see about getting a couple of more of the DG interested in popping it in for a session.
All right, Don. You and me, over a beer, we're going to figure out how to play the new system. It'll happen.
All right. Sounds good.
That's a plan.
So is that the plan for April 1st?
Sure.
Okay.
Love it.
All right, so you got a new question up there. It's a long one, so I'm not reading it.
Oh, well, someone's going to have to because I can't see it.
Ah, jeez. All right. Robin Chadwick just tries to ask these on YouTube due to screw-up. Sorry about that. Number one, any plans for more playtest stuff soon?
Yes.
And number two, if you do go through with convention plan of several games at the same time at a con, any plans to put the notes about how to do it online?
Mm.
So if you figure out how to do it, are you going to put out that jewel of information?
Well, yeah, if I can figure out how to do it, why keep that? I don't think I can make money on that, so... yeah, and I know why Robin's asking too, because they run a RPG group over there in Glasgow, and they've run Demon Hunters, and I think they would love to try and do the multi-table thing. Am I still Robo Don over here?
No, we can't.
You're okay right now.
Weird. So, but as far as the playtesting materials, I promised that once we had something to playtest, we'd release that. I'm still going to keep that promise, but we still haven't had anything until now. So, once I get the okay from the designer to send it out and get some notes back, then you'll see something, which hopefully will be in the next month or so.
So let's see, Matthew Hunt would like to know if Ned will be making an appearance in the updated rules/setting.
He will. All of Sigma 13 will be featured. Sigma 13 is our RPG featured team. They'll see a lot more action than Omega 15 will. So you're going to see them quite a bit. We've got some new updates, actually, for Sigma 13. Armageddon got a gender swap, and Gator is looking pretty awesome. Kind of a different look for him as well. Ned continues to be undead. He's the un-Ned. He's kind of interesting because his body parts are upgradable while being undead, essentially. So it's kind of fun.
Swaps a new arm on there?
Yeah. So we got some fun stuff for those characters. It'll be really fun to play, too. You know, I also got to thinking about prominent NPCs. As I was going back through the James Bond role-playing game, as I was putting together my thoughts on for this game, because I'm drawing heavily from one of their supplements, and I got to really have a lot of specific...
We lost again, Don.
Yeah.
Am I going all robo again?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn it. Well,
you talked about James Bond, and then it just kind of closed out at that point.
All right. Well, what I meant to say was, am I coming across the video now?
Patch.
So far.
Give up.
Give up.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to attempt another question?
I think the internet is hungover.
It's possible.
It's also disappointed in that call.
Anyway, more cool NPCs in the new game. With names.
With names. Mm-hmm. 50% more NPCs with names. Matthew Hunt would like to know, what are the chances of getting a Kentucky Blue Clay short approved by DG featuring Trent Miller? He'll send money.
Good question. I don't know. How much money?
There was about $5 signs in that statement.
Okay.
Pretty good.
I don't know if that's equivalent to zeros or what, but...
I appreciate that we like to shoot whatever you want to pay for, but maybe your dollars are a bit better focused in some areas.
Like his next question. Comment.
Which yeah. I also can't see.
How much do I need to pay transfer to get Mark the Red in the Gamers TV web pilot?
Ah, probably not much.
As you can tell, Duke shows up.
Yeah, actually, like, you guys are great, but really, there's a lot of people not here. So, let's, you know, just keep not showing up and, no, never mind. I got nothing. Maybe it was that game hangover call. I don't know.
Well, we need our icons for the people that couldn't make it, kind of like Mark the Red. They're just kind of sitting there off to the side.
Right.
You know.
Hands on their hips.
You know, we did have an idea once to make a cardboard cutout of Mark and just take him around to cons
That would be amazing.
You could probably sell those and people will buy them.
Oh, yeah.
I've tried to find out where to get those made. And I did once, and I think they were really, really expensive. Mm.
Who knew that cardboard was
yeah.
like gold? All right, well, maybe we'll work on that.
Yeah.
All right, Don. So Robin's next question is, do any of you guys have a favorite character slash monster added in the new edition?
Hmm.
I think you're the only person that would know what's in the new edition that's added.
I guess that's true. I'm excited that I get to include some of my old James Bond NPCs and convert them to demon hunters. And now they are villains in the demon hunters world. And it's canon.
That's actually pretty rad.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff you came up with. That was,
yeah. I'm excited. So, if I had to name them, we've already, actually, some of you may have already seen one of them in the Shadows Dungeon. There is a character named Bonkers, who is a clown. And Bonkers is going to get a demon hunter's treatment, and he'll be in the book. Another character named Eel, who's kind of a punk rockerish mohawk and whatnot. He's pretty badass. He's got a tattoo of a moray eel on him. It's pretty good. I have a few others, too, that'll probably make it in. Arm and Hammer. They're going to make it in. God damn it. Might have to tell that story someday when I don't have a robo down and going.
Okay, all so right. We got a question up here that says, what's your favorite game setting other than Demon Hunters? And I'd like to put in that one of my favorite settings was this sort of like pirates in space setting called Spelljammer that TSR put out a long time ago. And it sounds wacky, and it's even wackier than that.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's great. Essentially, you get to be like seafaring adventures, but there's really pretty usable, simple rules for like 3D ship combat and like zero gravity stuff. And there's like sort of Eberron-esque high fantasy. I had a lot of fun playing that stuff.
Yeah. Dupe runs it really well, too.
That lets you jump from setting to setting more than anything else. Or
yeah,
sphere to sphere, so to speak.
It's a great tie for a campaign that you get to, you know, do more than one sort of setting in.
Yeah. It's a good bridge to, you know, tie two different settings together.
And a little bit different than like, you know, you walk through a porthole and boom, you are in a totally different world.
Right.
You have to like earn it. You know, travel from here to there, and it's, I don't know, it's fun.
Unless you're 23rd or 24th level. Then we figured out the magical combination of greater teleport and greater plane shift, and you can pretty much go wherever the hell you want.
A couple of limited wishes in there just for good measure.
Yep. Make sure you've got enough XP to burn.
Yeah. good times.
Yeah.
For game settings, I'm actually really into Eclipse Phase right now. Nobody's run it in our group yet, unfortunately. We're trying to make our friend Jay run it. But getting him to run a game is like trying to pull teeth. But it's very heavily steeped in transhumanism in that your body is not your own. and you're essentially immortal because there are backed up copies of yourself. So if something happens to your body, you can just switch to a different one. And it's just got this amazing dynamic, and the company is extremely progressive. So you have morphs that deal with, they have no gender, and you can just swap at will. Then they have morphs that are just hilarious but fun to use, like there's an octomorph where you're literally just a sentient octopus, and it's so much fun, and it's hilarious, and I can't wait to actually get to sit down and play it.
Wow. I want to play a sentient octopus. That sounds great.
You know, I have to say that Ben Dobbins ran a really great Serenity Firefly RPG.
I was just thinking about that too.
Yeah. So, yeah, he did a great job. That was really fun to play. When you've got a GM that can really get the setting well, it's awesome.
And who doesn't like Firefly? I mean,
Fox.
Yeah.
True. Let's see. Ben Honeycutt, favorite monster. I want to pronounce that Chalupacabra.
Sure.
Chalupacabra. Like
it's like a monster chalupa. I'm not really sure. Patrick agrees that Eclipse Phase is awesome. It looks like Christine has offered up a website location for life-size standees. I don't know how to get that to you, Dom, but let's see.
I could send it to him via Facebook.
Yeah. So this one, Smith14. I'm not pronouncing that right, I'm sure. Have you guys considered later on when Demon Hunters takes off, and I know I'm not alone assuming it's going to take off, making a bestiary of some kind. Bestiary. I don't know, whoever you want to pronounce it.
Yes, actually, I had a stretch goal, which was an interfaith bestiary. And, you know, take creatures, monsters from actual, real religions, and traditions and folklore, and compile them all together in one area. Yeah, so I've had that thought in my head for a while. We'll see.
Okay, let's see. Matthew Hunt again. Dom mentioned in the last non-game night that Demon Hunters is less focused in its mythology than similar games and settings. How much content has been developed to be included for people to draw on, and will this be in the main book?
Trying to understand the question.
I think the idea is there's how much other faith and mythology content is going to be in the main book.
I don't know that we're going to focus too much on it. What you're going to find is that the flavor of the setting is going to be extremely pluralistic. And, you know, again, we're going off the reality that all religions and all folklore and all traditions are true. They exist at the same time. So, previous incarnations were more Judeo-Christian centric. And I think what you'll just find is that as we present examples and things like that, it will be less angels and demons and more, you know, diverse.
Okay.
Diverse demons. Look, that demon is totally black.
Okay.
So Robin would like to know if the James Bond game that you've mentioned several times is still available.
No.
And
was that top secret, or was that something different? Was it just called James? Was it a Bond?
It's called the 007 James Bond role-playing game.
Okay.
Not even on RPG Drive-Thru or something like that as a PDF?
I don't think so. You might be able to torrent it out there somewhere, but it's a pretty old game.
She also mentions her first Eclipse Phase character. She played an octopus.
Nice.
Wonderful. I got to play one. We did a review of it, and I got to read up all about them for the skits we did.
Nice. Conversion guides between the two systems.
We can't understand you at all.
Oh, terrible.
If low attendance was enough, technical difficulties are just adding to the excitement.
Wow.
So we're at 12 viewers, and we're out of questions again. Okay. Is there a point where you want to call it, Don?
Let us call it.
There you go.
That's a much better RoboDon than the first one.
Well, I think I should add that Ben was trying to toot our horn with the tugboat. But sadly, the tugboat has left the building.
Sorry.
So, we'll see if it returns next month.
All right, everybody. Okay. I'm gonna kill this monster.
All right.
See you guys.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
See you next time.
All right.
I know.
Good night.